First of all, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11 is a very familiar verse to all of us. And it's verse 6. And in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Okay? So those of us who come to God in faith, we must believe that he is, okay? And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this verse tells us a couple of things about faith. Number one, faith has to have an object. It has to have an object. And in this case, the object is God. And in this case, the object is God. Okay? And the second thing about faith is that when we come to God, we must believe that he is going to do what he says he's going to do. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, look at verse 8. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? So we see the two sides right here set before us. One, that if we're going to please God, we have to have faith. We have to walk in faith. When we don't walk in faith, we're walking by the flesh. And when we do that, we are not pleasing God. Okay? So we see where we are right here on the front end. Okay? Now, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I think what I want to do is just set aside this contact lens. Right there. Okay? So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we see that faith is the thing that we need to have in order to please God. And when we don't have faith, we cannot please God. Okay? So that's what Scripture tells us on the front end. We have to have faith to please God. This morning, we're going to look at how we shipwreck faith. Okay? How we shipwreck faith. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 18. It says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might warrest a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus, Alexander, and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may not learn to blaspheme." Okay, so we see here that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we read that Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were among those who had made shipwreck not only their faith, but the faith of the believers at Ephesus. Okay, the faith of the believers at Ephesus. Now, verses 18, 19, and 20 raise several questions for me. Number one, what does it mean to have shipwreck faith? Okay? Number two, what did Hymenaeus and Alexander do to cause this to happen? Not only to them, but to the church at Ephesus. Number three, how do we shipwreck our faith? What are the signs of faith that is becoming shipwrecked? What can we do to rebuild shipwreck faith? And then finally, how can we avoid it altogether? Okay? Because that's what ideally you want to do, is avoid it altogether. Okay? But I think before we can talk about what is shipwreck faith, we have to understand what faith is. Okay? So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, begin with verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Okay? So we see in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11 that faith has substance, and then faith also has evidence. Faith has substance and it has evidence. Now, the word substance here in Hebrews chapter 1, it means that which is the basis of something, the foundation of something. Okay? It's a setting or placing underneath. It's an assurance, a guarantee, or confidence. Okay? That's what faith is. It's the foundation of something. Okay? Of what we believe. Faith is the foundation. Okay? Now, for example, years ago, Fort Knox used to contain gold that was the backing of our bartering system, our dollar bills, our money. Okay? The gold in Fort Knox then was the substance, the foundation, the backing, the assurance, the guarantee that the money that we had in flowing in operation was good, that it was not bad, it was not counterfeit, that it had the backing of the United States of America. Okay? That's what faith is. It's the foundation. It's the foundation. Now, this word evidence is a legal term, and it means irrefutable proof. Irrefutable proof. So, looking at the definitions for faith in terms of substance and evidence, what is Hebrews chapter 1 telling us? Hebrews chapter 1 is telling us, number one, that faith is a constant. Because the first thing it says in verse 1 is faith is. Not faith was, not faith will be, but faith is. Okay? The second thing it tells us is that faith is the foundation for everything that exists. The foundation for everything that exists. When you look back in Hebrews chapter 11, you see that by it the elders obtained a good report, and through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Okay? So what we see today in part exists because of someone's faith. Okay? And then finally, faith is the absolute guarantee that non-tangible desires and needs can become a reality. Okay? Because faith says that what we don't see, at some point, if we continue to believe, we will see. Okay? Now, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, you see that God's word was the foundation for all that they hoped for. Okay? And it's his faithfulness was all that they had to rest upon. Look in chapter 10 and verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Okay? He is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. So our faith really depends on the faithfulness of the one who promised. Okay? Because remember, faith has to have an object. Now, let me read the Amplified Bible's how it renders verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." Okay? Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Let me put it to you this way. Faith says, the things I have yet to see manifest in my life are as real to me as the things I can see right now. That's what faith says. Faith says the things I have yet to see manifest in my life, whether it be healing, whether it be prosperity, whatever it is, they are as real to me as the things I can see right now. That's what faith is. Isn't that neat? Now, many Christians think faith is based on what you believe. So they asked the question, do you believe what the Bible says? Now, before you throw stones at me, hear me out on the next thing I want to say, okay? Faith is not based on believing what the Bible says. Now, don't throw stones at me. But faith is not based on believing what the Bible says. Faith is based on believing who spoke the Bible. Who spoke it? That's who we have faith in. Because if we don't believe in the one who spoke this, then what's in this doesn't matter. You see what I'm saying? If we don't believe that God is the one who fulfills his promise, then all the promises that are in here might as well not be in here because we don't believe them anyway, because we don't believe God. So faith then is based on who spoke the Bible, not what's written in it. Okay? Not what's written in it. Now, how do we get faith? Look at Romans chapter 10. Again, another familiar passage. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to begin in verse 13. And we know that in Romans chapter 10, it talks about confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart, and then you will be saved. Okay? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they call on him in whom they have no faith? This word believe is pistis. And faith is the word pistis, pistuo. So it's the same Greek word. So how can you call on someone in whom you have no faith in? Okay? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And we know there are a lot of folks who preach who aren't sent. But they preach. Okay? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I want you all to take 1 minute to read verse 17 silently. Now, as you read first verse 17, did faith come? It's not a trick question. As you read in your mind verse 17, did faith come? No. No. Faith comes by hearing it. Not by reading it, by hearing it. So when you sit down in the morning with your cup of coffee or your tea or your Diet Coke or your glass of milk, Stephen, if you're just reading the word, you're not gaining faith if you're just reading the word. You have to read the word out loud to get faith. Do you see this? Because that's what it says. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. You have to read the word out loud to increase your faith. That's why we talk in this church all the time about confessing the word. Because when you confess the word, you're saying the word out loud. Okay? You're saying the word out loud. So as you say the word out loud, faith comes. Faith comes. Okay? Now I want you to notice a couple of things about this verse. There are two words in here. They're translated the same word. The word by, B-Y. The first one is ek, which means out from something. So, and that's the first by. So then faith cometh out of hearing. And hearing by is the word D-I-A, through the word of God. So faith cometh out of hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So what verse 17 is telling us is this, that we have to faith comes by hearing. And then it tells you in the second part of the verse what we are hearing. The word of God. Okay? The word of God. Now, what does faith give us? Look in Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. We hadn't even gotten to shipwrecking it yet. We're just looking at faith because I want to make sure we have a grasp of faith before we get to shipwrecking it. Look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1, it says, we are justified by our faith, and because we are justified by our faith, we are no longer God's enemy. Because that's what peace with God means. If you're not at peace with God, you are his enemy. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. You see it? We were God's enemies until we were justified by our faith, being born again. Okay? For by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice and hope of the glory of God. Okay? We have access. Charlie was talking a few minutes ago about baseball and how this is the last day of the baseball season. And I'm sure that if someone were to walk up to Charlie and give him a pass for the entire World Series, Charlie would jump at that pass. Okay? That's what that word access means. It's an admission. Okay? It's an admission. It's an introduction. It's your pass into. Your pass into. That's what access means. That's your pass into everything that God has made available. And what is our access? Our faith gives us access. You see how important faith is? And you see how important that when you start talking about shipwrecking your faith, what you lose in the process? Okay? What you lose in the process. So, look at Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 18. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Okay? Brother Don, would you come up for a minute? And Jason, would you come up for a minute? Brother Don, I want you to sit right here. Brother Don is God the Father. Okay? I'm going to be, for this example, I'm going to be Jesus Christ. Okay? And Jason is someone who has just said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and God raised him from the dead. Okay? So, Jason, come with me. Dad, I want you to meet Jason. Jason has just said that he wants to be a member of this your family. And I want you to introduce to you your son, Dad. That's what access means. We are introducing ourselves through our faith to our Heavenly Father. That's what access means. We're introducing, giving admission to everything that my father now owns is available to Jason as he accesses it through faith. Amen? Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. That's an introduction. An introduction. Okay? So we now see what it means to have faith and what faith gives us. Now let's go back to 1 Timothy and let's look at shipwreck. And when I first read this, I was asking Father, I don't understand what you're trying to tell me in all of this. And he said, just give me time. And I did. I gave him time. Verse 18 again. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou might by them war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may not learn to blaspheme. Now this word shipwreck comes from two words. One word means ship, and the other word means to break. To break. And it means, and I want you to listen to this, because it's a progression. It means to damage. It means to disable or destroy. You see the progression. To damage, disable, or destroy. And we're talking about faith here. Remember Jesus talked about if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed? So he's telling us that your faith can grow. Okay? But he's also telling us that if you don't water your faith, faith comes by hearing, okay, then it's not going to grow. Okay? Now, I want you to think with me for a few minutes about what happens when a ship wrecks. Okay? When a ship wrecks, you will find pieces of it floating in the water. Okay? You will find pieces of it floating in the water. If the main part of the ship is here, this is the ship, and you find pieces floating over on the water over here, these pieces are away from the main part of the vessel. Okay? And the farther away they get from the main part of the vessel, the weaker they become, because they're just going to fall apart. You see it? They're going to fall apart. And we know from Scripture that our main vessel is God's Word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. Okay? So, if we are not hearing God's Word, then we are shipwrecking our faith. Our faith is breaking away. Okay? It's breaking away. Now, the interesting thing about shipwrecked faith is it's not completely ruined. It's not completely ruined. It's only broken away so that it cannot do what it's fully designed to do. Okay? So, when you think about shipwrecked faith, when the pieces are floating away, you have less and less of the ship. And the longer the ship is wrecked in one spot, the longer the ship is wrecked in one spot, the more and more pieces are going to start floating away. Okay? So if this is your faith, your ship is this faith, and the more and more pieces start floating away from your ship, from your faith, how strong is your faith? It gets weaker and weaker with every piece that floats away. Now, the thing about shipwrecked faith is it doesn't happen immediately. It happens over time. And sometimes it happens so subtly you don't even know it that your faith is being shipwrecked. Okay? You don't even know it is so subtle sometimes. And that's what we're going to see as we look a little bit more into this verse. So shipwrecked faith is faith that is slowly drifting away or has been separated from its main vessel. In this case, its source, God's Word. Shipwrecked faith is not faith that can't be repaired. It can be. It is faith that is broken. It is faith that is fragmented. It is faith that is weak. It is faith that grows weaker and weaker each day. It is away from the main vessel. Are you seeing the picture? Now, why is this important? The first thing we read this morning was Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please your heavenly Father. It's impossible. So that's why it's important that we have faith. Because when we have faith, then that allows us to please our Heavenly Father. And we know from Jesus' example that He pleased His Father. And we know from Jesus' example the things that He did. And so when we have faith, we will please our Heavenly Father by doing the things that Jesus did. Okay? Now, what did Hymenaeus and Alexander do to cause this to happen in the church at Ephesus? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 1. Paul writing to Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Okay? Now, look down to verse 14. And in verse 14, in verses 3 through 13, Paul is reminding Timothy about how you have to, you know, a good soldier does not get entangled in the affairs of this world. He keeps his mind focused on the things that the commander-in-chief has told him to do. Okay? And then he talks about how that a husbandman, you know, is a partaker of the fruit, but he's also the one who's making sure that the fruit grows properly. But then when you get down to verse 15, and all of this has to do with sound doctrine. That's the image we're talking about here. Verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before God, before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of the hearers." Okay? "That they strive not about words to no profit." Remember back in verse 2, Paul told Timothy, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Look at verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings." Talking about wrong doctrine is the long and the short of it. Okay? "For they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Okay? So, it says here in verse 18 that Hymenaeus and Philetus, they have erred concerning the truth. That word erred means to miss the mark. They missed the mark concerning the truth. Okay? They missed the mark. And you see where it says, "but shun profane and vain babblings." That word "shuns" means, you know, you're walking up and you hear them talking about things that are wrong doctrine, you just turn around and you go in the opposite direction. It means to walk away. Walk away. So you're going to shun profane babblings. Okay? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 14 and 15. It says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." Okay? "Of whom be thou weary also, where also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." So Alexander the coppersmith then, he was greatly standing against what Paul was teaching. Do you see this? He was greatly standing against Paul with teaching. And so when Paul says that he has done me much evil, what he's talking about is he's come right behind me, and the things that I have taught, the things that I have said, he's come right behind me and said they are not true. That's how he did Paul much evil. Okay? That's how he didn't actually go out and beat Paul up and abuse him, but he did him evil by undermining him, what he taught in God's word. That's how he did Paul much evil. So we see from these passages that Hymenaeus and Alexander and Philetus that we now have seen here, they were teaching and preaching wrong doctrine. Okay? Now, the question then becomes, how did their faith become shipwrecked? Because, see, Paul told Timothy that I want you to identify faithful men who are able to teach others also. And you have to know that Hymenaeus and Alexander and Philetus were among those faithful men that Timothy had taught. Okay? So how then did they get to the shape where their faith became shipwrecked? Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 19. It It says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You see the words holding faith? It means to have and hold, as in possessing an assurance and confidence in what we hear from God's word. So Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to hold the faith. I want you to hold what you have been taught, knowing and resting that God, he who promised, will deliver on his promises. Okay? Then the second thing he says, and a good conscience. That good conscience refers to that new man on the inside, that born-again spirit. That's that good conscience. Okay? So you're holding fast the faith and that good conscience. Now, which some having put away. What did they put away? The holding of the faith and not listening to the good conscience. Okay? Now, we heard from Pastor on Thursday in Rome, when he was dealing with Romans, talk about in Timothy where, look at verse 2 of Timothy's 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay? So we see that what they have done is they have stopped listening to the Spirit on the inside. That's what they did. They stopped listening to the Spirit on the inside. That word put away, it means to thrust away, drive away, beat off, banish, to reject, to rebel, to disdain. Put away. It implies a willful violence against conscience. A willful violence against conscience. So these men, Hymenaeus and Alexander, deliberately said that, yes, I know what God's word says. I'm not going to do it. I have my own agenda. I have my own agenda. And their own agenda was so subtle that not only had they shipwrecked their faith with their own agenda, they started shipwrecking the faith of the folks in Ephesus. In Ephesus, okay? Because when you think about it, only someone who teaches God's word can help you shipwreck your faith. Okay? If I'm not teaching you what God's word says and what God, the Holy Spirit, has given me, I'm shipwrecking your faith. I'm just tearing it all to pieces. I'm shipwrecking it. If I'm not telling you that everything that I'm teaching you this morning, sharing with you, if I don't tell you to get back into your closet with the Holy Spirit and to confirm or deny, I'm shipwrecking your faith. That I play a role in that. And you remember the record in Matthew where Jesus said, for those who offend one of these little ones, these newborn babes, it's better for him to have had a millstone around his neck and be thrown in the water? That's me. If I'm not doing my best to teach you God's word, I might as well have a millstone around my neck and be thrown in the Cumberland River. Because I'm not doing you any good. I am shipwrecking your faith. Okay? So, we have seen now that in verse 19 that Hymenaeus and Alexander deliberately rejected and rebelled against faith. And because of this, they spoke against God's word by teaching and preaching things that led people to more ungodliness. Now, you say, now, Barry, how did you get this from just reading these three verses? Well, let's look at the context in which verses 18, 19, and 20 are found. Go back to verse 3. After the salutations, the opening comments, the first thing Paul tells Timothy, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they do what? Teach no other doctrine. Look at verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Okay? Which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Okay? Faith that is still pure, from which some, having swerved, missed the mark, have turned aside unto vain janglings. Okay? Have turned aside. Desiring to be teachers, of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So you see that it has to do with teaching wrong doctrine. Now, let's get to the meat of all of this. How do we shipwreck our faith? And we're going to start in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Okay? God's word is the primary source of faith. It's the primary source of faith. Not the only source, but the primary source. And we know that Scripture contains the very life of God. Look in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, in verse 63, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They are spirit and they are life. Okay? Now look at verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." What had happened, Jesus had said that he's the bread of life. And he says this three times in this passage. And he's saying to them, if you're going to live in the kingdom, if you're going to prosper in the kingdom, then you have to follow me unconditionally. You have to be willing to pay the price to live in the kingdom. And some of them were not willing to pay that price. They were not willing to pay that price. And in verse 67, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Simon Peter says, thou hast the words of eternal life. Okay? When we don't spend time reading out loud and meditating God's word, we are allowing our faith to slowly break away from its source. So that's the first thing that we do to shipwreck our faith. We don't spend time reading God's word, not only reading it, but reading it out loud and meditating on it so it can get from here to here. Okay? Because faith comes by hearing. Look in Jude 20. And all of these are very familiar verses. As we talk about shipwrecking our faith. In Jude 20, it says, "But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." How do we do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay? When we don't pray in the Spirit, we are not being built up and we are not being established on faith. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, a very familiar passage. We're going to read verses 2 and 4. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." That's why Jude can say that we are built up on our most holy faith when we pray in the Spirit, because we're having communications, fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Okay? The source. "Speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." Verse 4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." He builds himself up, okay? So, when we don't spend time in the prayer closet, our faith becomes shipwrecked. Our faith becomes shipwrecked when we don't spend time in a prayer closet. Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 6. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by" what? "Love." Faith which works by love. Love is the power source for faith. Love is the power source for faith. It's an absolute key if you're going to live and operate in faith. And I know we've talked many a times about Jesus being moved by compassion when he saw people, when he did things for people, because he had God's love in operation on the inside of him. Look at 1 John chapter 4. And in 1 John chapter 4, looking at verse 7 and 8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." And we just saw that faith worketh by love. Faith is energized, activated, comes to full fruition by love. "And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that knoweth not loveth not, for God is love. Refusing to love and holding unforgiveness is a spiritual wall to faith." Unforgiveness is a spiritual wall to faith. Because if Alice does something to me and I can't forgive her, I can forget about walking in faith. I can forget about it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, unforgiveness is like having a wound that starts to heal up, and you know how your wound starts, it scabs over, and then you just keep picking at that scab, and so the wound never heals. That's what unforgiveness does. It doesn't allow you to heal. It doesn't. Because every time I see Alice, I'm going to remember what Alice did to me. And I may say, "Alice, that's okay, don't worry about it." But in here, I'm saying, "Freaking fracking gall darn, she did it again." And so when we have unforgiveness on the inside, it hinders us from having faith in God. It hinders us. Love and unforgiveness cannot coexist at the same time. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And how many of you know it doesn't work that way? Yeah, it doesn't work that way. We see that you have love. Love energizes faith. Okay? Faith then gives us access to grace. Love energizes faith, and when our faith is energized, we have access to grace. Everything God has made available to us. Everything God has made available to us. So when we fail to walk in love, what are we doing? We are slowly shipwrecking our faith. We're surely shipwrecking our faith. The Amplified Bible translates the last part of Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, "But only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love." Isn't that neat? Mark chapter 11. There are other things that shipwreck our faith, but I wanted us to get out at a decent time. So in Mark chapter 11, look at verse 22. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." What Jesus was saying is, have God's faith. Have God's faith. Okay, operating in your life. That's what Jesus was telling them. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," remember where faith comes by hearing, "whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye have received, and ye shall have them." Okay, you shall have them. We're seeing here that faith is released through words. Look at Luke chapter 6. Faith is released through words in Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." And we know that when Jesus is talking about heart, he's talking about this inner man. This inner man. He's talking about what's in here. What's in here is going to come out here. It's going to come out here. Okay? So when we refuse to speak God's word, when we refuse to speak his spirit and his life into our circumstances and situations we face, we are allowing our faith to be shipwrecked. Okay, we're allowing our faith to be shipwrecked. Now, let's think for a moment. What are some signs of shipwrecked faith? What are some signs of shipwrecked faith? you're sitting at home, the bills are piling up, and you say to yourself, I've been confessing God's word. I've been doing everything I know to do. Why aren't my bills being paid? That's a sign of faith that is becoming shipwrecked. That's a sign. Because you are questioning. You are questioning. Remember, faith says that I know that I have yet to see it, but it is as real to me as the things that I can see. That's what faith says. So if you have the stack of bills here and not being paid, you're doing everything you know to do, and you're still questioning why they aren't being paid, your faith is shipwrecked. It's away from the main body. Okay? If when you face a situation, then the first question you ask is, why me? Guess what? Your faith is shipwrecked if that's the first question you're going to ask is, why me? Okay? You know your faith is being shipwrecked when you have to make yourself. It takes everything you have within you to get up out of bed on Sunday morning and go to church. You know your faith is shipwrecked. If going to church is drudgery to you, your faith is shipwrecked. Your faith is shipwrecked. If reaching in your back pocket to pull out your wallet during offering time to give to the movement of God's word does not bring joy to you because God says he loves a cheerful giver, your faith is shipwrecked. Because, see, you are forgetting that the source of your faith is going to take care of all your needs. The source of your faith is going to take care of all your needs. Okay? This is a good one. This is a good one. If you have been praying, believing, and confessing God's word for healing, and the healing has not manifested yet, and you said, I'm done. I am not going to pray anymore. This stuff doesn't work. Your faith is shipwrecked. Your faith is shipwrecked. Your faith is shipwrecked. And when your faith is shipwrecked, men and women, those of us who are supposed to know how to walk with God, who are supposed to know God's will, who are supposed to represent Jesus Christ, who are supposed to be able to do the things Christ did when he was here, if our faith is shipwrecked, no one else has a shot. No one else has a shot. Because, see, when we come to this church on Sunday and we hear God's word given to us on a silver platter and we go back home and do what Pastor says, and the things he teaches, we go back and verify, yes, this is what the Word of God says, then we have no excuse for having shipwrecked faith. We have none. The only reason we have shipwrecked faith is we are spiritually lazy. We are lazy. Lazy. We say, Pastor said it, good enough for me. I take his word for it. He's been right on everything else so far, so I'm just going to sit back and say, well, he's done. He's done all the work. It's good enough for me. He's operating in his faith. We're responsible for our own. We are responsible for our own. And if we don't take the time to take responsibility for our faith by spending time in God's word, by praying in the Spirit, by walking in love, if we don't take the time to do those things, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. And then if that's the case, we might as well be like every other church that is walking with no power, because we're like that. We come to church every Sunday, but we have absolutely no power. We're no different. We think we are. We think we are because worship is so wonderful and the message is so good. But we realize that we don't have any power because once we leave this place, we're just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. They don't see any difference in us than they see in themselves. And when that happens, oh Lord, you know your faith is shipwrecked. You know it. You know it. If you have a friend who invites you to go to the bar with him, your faith is shipwrecked because he's not seeing it. He's not seeing it. He's seeing you as you're just like me. You're just like me. Let's go to the bar. And your faith is shipwrecked because you probably go to the bar. If the people you come in contact with every single day do nothing different when they see you, your faith is shipwrecked. Your faith is shipwrecked. Because I have known people that when you walk into the room, they stop saying certain things because they know that the person who walks in the room is not going to put up with that. That's not what they're about. But if you walk into a room and the conversation doesn't change, your life does not reflect one of faith. It doesn't. It doesn't. No matter how many mind games you play with yourself, it doesn't. You're seen as being just like them. And if you're seen as being just like them, Satan sees you the same way. And if you're being seen as just like them, God can't help you. He can't. Because you have made a decision to put away, to thrust yourself away from faith, to thrust yourself away from that good conscience. You've made that decision. You've made that decision. And the people confirm that to you when they don't change the way they act when you walk into a room or in your presence. They don't see you as a man or woman in whom the Spirit of God is. They see you as one of us. As one of us. You're not one of them. You're not. You're not one of them. Okay? Now, what can we do to rebuild shipwrecked faith? We can do Romans 10, 17. The same things that we don't do to shipwreck our faith are the same things we must do to rebuild it. Romans 10, 17, Jude 20, Galatians 5, 6, and then Mark 11, 22, and 24. Those are the same things we must do to rebuild our faith. Okay? Now, how can we avoid allowing our faith to become shipwrecked? Over the years, fewer and fewer ships have become shipwrecked through improvements in ship construction, okay, including modern methods of navigation, efficient ship-to-ship and ship-to-shore communications, more accurate meteorological reports and storm warnings, and the use of radar equipment. That's how fewer and fewer shipwrecks have happened. Turn to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, how we can avoid allowing our faith to be shipwrecked in John chapter 14. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look at 16, chapter 16. Look at verse 26, I'm sorry, of chapter 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. Whatsoever I have said unto you. And then in chapter 16, look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Modern methods of navigation. And it's also efficient ship-to-ship and ship-to-shore communications. Okay? For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. Which means you're going to have more accurate reports of storm warnings. Okay? And he shall show you things to come. use of radar equipment. You see that? How the Holy Spirit keeps us from shipwrecking our faith. He keeps us from shipwrecking our faith. But if you don't spend any time with him, your faith is going to be shipwrecked. Your faith is going to be shipwrecked. I remember one of the earliest teachings that Pastor did about praying in the Spirit and spending time with the Holy Spirit. He told us, he said, if you can just start spending 15 minutes a day in his presence, 15 minutes, you're going to see a difference in your life. 15 minutes. You do 30 minutes a day. Add a little bit as your time permits. Because, see, those of us who are supposed to walk by faith are the ones who are going to be the ones to help others learn how to walk by faith. We are supposed to be the examples. We are the examples. And if we're not living and walking by faith, how can we be an example? We can't be. We can't be. Remember in Corinthians it says that the princes of this world, had they known what was going to happen, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay? You know what they didn't know? They didn't know that by crucifying Jesus, it would make it available for him to live in all of us. That's what the princes of this world didn't know. Because at the time they crucified Jesus, they only had to deal with one person and his 12 flaky friends who weren't quite there yet. But once he died, rose again, then it was available for each one of us to be just like him. And when Satan found that out, he pulled his hair out. He knew he had messed up royally. He had messed up royally. So as our example, Jesus Christ, he walked by faith. Every single thing he did it by faith. And we are to do it by faith also. Also. And it's not just limited to things related to the church. It also has to do with your jobs. It has to do with your job. Because the better you are at what you do on the job, seeing things that people on the job don't see, coming up with solutions that people don't see, and they had no clue how you did that, it's very easy. I asked my teacher, what should I do? My teacher told me, well, Barry, who is your teacher? Let me sit down and tell you about my teacher. Go to John chapter 16, verse 13. So, to wrap all this up, we know that faith is what gives us access to God's grace. And God's grace includes everything that he has made available to us in this world. Everything. But in order to access God's grace, we have to walk in faith. And if we're not spending time, if we're not hearing the word of God, we're not going to be able to walk in faith. If we're not spending time praying in the Spirit, we're not going to be able to walk in faith. If we're not living a life that is dominated by God's love, we're not going to walk in faith. And if we don't confess God's word, we're not going to walk in faith. But if we do all of those things, then we're going to see a difference in our faith walk. Because it's not important how you feel about the things that you do, is whether or not you're faithing it. Okay, whether or not you're faithing it. So all of you folks who are going to keep your faith from getting shipwrecked, and all of you folks who are just going to make sure that you're going to help each other from getting their faith shipwrecked, let's just give them a little praise.